There are some days you never forget. Days when everything changed. The first one I remember was the day President Kennedy was killed. I was in the sixth grade. We won't have a raise of hands of who remembers it, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I was at home having lunch because our house was close to the school. And somebody called, and my dad turned on the radio, and then we heard the news. So I ran back to school and told everybody. And the teacher soon confirmed that it was true. The teachers were crying. No more teaching happened that day. I remember another day, one that more of you will remember, September 11th, the day of the Twin Towers attack. You probably remember exactly where you were and what you were doing. I was at a resort up on the coast of Maine for a Vineyard board meeting. Somebody said a plane had flown into the towers. And pretty soon we're in our meeting watching the TV, and we actually all saw the towers fall live on TV. People screamed. That was pretty much the end of the meeting. Everybody headed for the exits. And I ended up driving my rental car by myself all the way back to Chicago from Maine. Do you remember? You know, some days change everything, and you can never go back. Some will remember so, so clearly, like those 2 days. Some days that changed everything were sneaky. They kind of crept up on us. Like, they changed everything, but it took us a while to realize what was happening. When I look back, I realized that 2007, the introduction of the iPhone, that changed a lot of things. We didn't know it then, but it did. Well, almost 2,000 years ago, something else happened that changed everything. First of all, it changed things in the spiritual side of life. It was almost like this little spiritual experience in this little Jewish enclave, something going on with this very tiny community. But ultimately, all of human history was changed because of this one day. It was really a day connected to a weekend, a previous weekend, the weekend in which Jesus was crucified and then raised. But that weekend led to the second day, and that's the day I want to celebrate today, the day we call the Day of Pentecost, which we call the Day of Pentecost because it happened 50 days after Jesus died. And on that day, something happened that changed everything. And ever since then, it's really been a new day. Today is the first in a series that we're doing from the first part of the book of Acts. Acts is the whole story of a new era and how it unfolded and all the amazing things that took place as a new reality took hold. It's the story of unexpected breakthroughs. It's a story of a new day in God's kingdom. And so that fits really well with where we are as a church, because we're in a new day as well. Jesus predicted this day. He said it was coming. He arranged it. And when the day came, he sent the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days that Jesus spent with his disciples after the resurrection, he spoke to them. He says, it's coming. The day's coming. And he talked to them about it. And so before we look at the day, I want to kind of just look at the precursor, Acts 1, 4 to 5. It says, once while he was meeting with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for what the Father had promised. And Jesus said to them, I've told you what the Father promises. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the word baptized means really to be overwhelmed, to be completely immersed in this new reality. They had a mission from Jesus, but he says, don't start until this comes. Don't leave home without it. You need this thing that I'm sending. And when it comes, when the Spirit comes, you'll be overwhelmed. by the Holy Spirit. And that is part of the plan. That's the plan. It's not like an accident. It's the plan. The church of Jesus is meant to be filled with, directed by, even overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not like some special option for those who go in for that kind of thing. Like we all know, there's some people that they like drama, and there's others of us who don't. You know, so the idea of being overwhelmed and all that is sort of like, well, I don't know about that. But it's not really optional. It's like the plan. It's how it's supposed to happen. It's necessary for the very life and mission of the church. So churches need not only to be open to the Holy Spirit, like, okay, I'll go there if God makes me. But no, they need to be seeking him and actively waiting for him. Because that's what Jesus told them to do. He said, I want you to wait for him. And so that's what they did. They spent about 10 days waiting and praying. They were praying, I think, for power, because he told them power would come with this. They were praying for the promised Holy Spirit. But when he came, they got a lot more than they bargained for or could ever have expected. Let's take a look. Acts 2, 1 to 13. When Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover came, all the believers were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a violently blowing wind came from the sky and filled the whole house where they were staying. Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, and the tongues arranged themselves so that one came to rest on each believer. And all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Devout Jewish men from every nation were living in Jerusalem, and they gathered when they heard the wind. And each person was startled to recognize his own dialect when the disciples spoke. Stunned and amazed, the people in the crowd said, all of these men who are speaking are Galileans. Parentheses, country hicks. Why do we hear them speaking in our native dialects? We're Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. We're people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the country near Cyrene in Libya. We're Jewish people, converts to Judaism, and visitors from Rome, Crete, and Arabia. We hear these men in our own language as they tell about the miracles God has done. And all these devout men were stunned and puzzled, and they asked each other, what can this mean? And others said jokingly, they're drunk on sweet wine. Now, I don't know for sure what they were expecting, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't this. Because this is like wild. This is like unpredictable. It's like one of those moments where, like, things are happening that you're never going to forget. It's a whole new day. And it's a whole new day in several really important ways. You know a new day has begun because it's the day in which God works in overwhelming power. And that's where it starts. There's this sound of a roaring, mighty wind. Think tornadoes or hurricanes. It's loud. It's so loud, the people in the street can hear. It's loud enough to be scary. So they start with that. And as if that wasn't enough, right away, then fire comes in the room. Wind and fire, that sounds like a dangerous combination to me. But there they are, and there's fire coming, and it's coming on each of them. And then there's this strange kind of praying in languages that they had never learned. And some people are apparently so overwhelmed that they look like they're drunk. It's utterly overwhelming, utterly unpredictable. Some people might have been afraid. A few years ago, Cindy and I spoke at a summer youth camp in Georgia. It was blazing hot. I mean, it's Georgia, you know, like in the summer. But it was like the most amazing youth camp I've ever been to. There were about 600 teenagers there. So one night, as I finished speaking, the Spirit came in power on one young man. He's kind of a tall, redheaded guy. And he started shaking from head to toe. And then I had him pray for another guy next to him, who also began to shake. And then there was another person and another person. And pretty soon, we had several hundred teenagers shaking, crying, praying in tongues, falling down. You know, you name it, it was all happening. The room was utter chaos. And we had visible miracles that night. We saw people who were injured. A man who had broken his foot completely healed in front of our eyes, all kinds of things. Physical miracles right there. It was one of the most powerful meetings I've ever been in. But for some of the people watching, it was terrifying. They were scared. They were scared. They said, "What is this?" Sort of, "What does this mean? What is this?" And, you know, one of them came up to me, you know, "How do I know it's not the devil?" You know, they'd never seen anything that powerful. In fact, it seemed powerful and uncontrollable, which is kind of a scary thing. And a couple of them called their parents and went home the next day. They were so scared by it. You see, the problem is many of us just want a normal life. Yeah. That's me. Somehow I lost it. It didn't happen. But that's what I wanted. We just want a normal life. We just want to go to school. We want to fall in love, get married, have a good job, have kids, buy a nice normal house where we do normal things. And that's all good. It's all good. We, you know, the Bible says we should fulfill our responsibilities and we should work and we should get married and have children and all of that. But when the Holy Spirit gets involved in your life, all bets are off when it comes to living normally. Like the wind, there's no telling where he's going next. You might be overwhelmed. You might be led to do something not that normal, like get involved with helping people in need or going to serve in another place or starting a new ministry or praying for somebody who gets healed on the spot. You may end up praying for people in your living room. I've actually found kitchens are great places to pray for people. You give them a little food, they let their guard down, and wham. You might end up seeing visions or dreaming dreams with insights from God. And you know what? That is what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to work and get married and all of that, but he wants more. He also wants the unpredictable, uncontrollable part where the Spirit takes over our life and takes us where he wants to go. Are you ready for that part also? It was also a day of new life. When the author of this book, Luke, wrote this, he used a word for the wind that strongly suggests breath. That sign of the wind would have brought to the disciples' mind an old prophecy. It's found in the book of Ezekiel, which is about in the middle of your Bible, but I'll spare you the trouble. We'll stick it on the screen. Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 1. You need to hear this prophecy, because this is like a great prophecy, and it's like on this day, the day of Pentecost, this prophecy starts to come true. So the prophet says, "The power of the Lord came over me. And the Lord brought me out by his Spirit and put me down in the middle of a valley. And the valley was filled with bones. And he led me all around them. And I saw that there were very many bones at the bottom of the valley. And they were very dry. And then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'Only you know, Almighty Lord.' And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones. Tell them, dry bones, listen to the Lord's word. This is what the Almighty Lord says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put ligaments on you and place muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will live. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And while I was prophesying, suddenly there was a rattling noise, and the bones came together, one bone attaching itself to another. And as I looked, I saw that ligaments were on them, and muscles were on them, and skin covered them, and yet there was no breath in them. And the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, this is what the Almighty Lord says, come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these people who were killed so that they will live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. And then they came to life and stood on their feet, and there were enough of them to form a very large army. And the Lord also said to me, son of man, all the people of Israel are like these bones. The people say, our bones are dry, and our hope has vanished. We're completely destroyed. So prophesy. Tell them, this is what the Almighty Lord says, my people, I will open your graves and take you out of them. I will bring you to Israel, and then, my people, you will know that I am the Lord, because I will open your graves and bring you out of your graves, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will place you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. And so on the day of Pentecost, the breath of the Holy Spirit comes to bring new life and new hope. They may have felt like they were nothing more than dry bones, dead in their graves. But when the Spirit came, it was a new day. A day of resurrection, a new day of life and hope, a new beginning to their story. And that's what the Spirit of God has always done. When he comes, he brings life. When he comes, death cannot prevail. When he comes, despair is broken. When he comes, we enter into joy and victory. And that wind, folks, that wind is still moving today. If your life seems at a dead end, if you feel like a dry bones, if you're living in a grave, the wind is coming. The wind is coming to bring you back to life. Do you hear me? The wind is coming. The wind of life, the wind of hope, the wind of power, the wind of victory, it's coming. And when he comes, you will never be the same again. The wind is coming. Wait for him. Ask for him. Get ready for him, because the wind is coming. The wind is coming to this church. The wind is coming to this city. The wind is coming to you. The wind is coming. There are seasons when the wind of the Spirit becomes more visible, more apparent, closer. Seasons when breakthroughs happen. Many seasons when new life springs up. When the dead come back to life. When despair is replaced by hope and normal life gets interrupted. And I'm telling you, I can feel it coming. I can feel that season changing. The wind is coming. Some of you are already experiencing it. You know, you've already started to get a taste, and I'm telling you, the wind is coming. Third, it's the day of freedom and purification. The fire came and settled on each of them. And when the Spirit comes, he comes as fire as well. All through the Bible, fire is an image that speaks of purification and freedom in the presence of God. What led the people of Israel from slavery out of Egypt? A pillar of fire. Led them to the land of promise and freedom. And John the Baptist, who preceded Jesus, actually prophesied about it. In Luke chapter 3, verse 15, it says, people's hopes were rising as they all wondered whether John was the Messiah. And John replied to all of them, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie his sandal straps, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In my most powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit in my life, it felt like fire. Uncontrollable, unstoppable fire going up and down my body for 3 hours. I thought I was going to die. Something did die. Something did die. And you know what? What died was all my fear what other people might think. The fire was burning it out of me and setting me free. It was burning out all my fear of losing control. And on the other side, I experienced a whole new day of freedom, and I've seen it again and again with other people. When the Spirit comes, he's so quick to bring his fire to burn out the things that are holding us back and keeping us in bondage. He wants to burn out all that stuff so we can walk into freedom. Maybe some of you have already started experiencing this as you've been fasting. I'm starting to hear stories. It starts with an awareness that things are holding you back or keeping you from getting close to God. And if so, just say yes. Like, go for it, God. Go for it. Let him do his work of setting you free and cleaning you up. And his fire will come. One way or another, sometimes a slow burn, sometimes a fast burn, but his point is still the same. To burn out what's holding you back, to clean up the junk so you can walk into freedom. Fourth, it's the day in which a new nation of God is formed. There's this phenomena where they begin to praise God in languages they had never learned. That's strange. Okay, let's just admit it. That's weird. Like, people around heard some of them. And the crazy thing is because they were, like, in a place where there were people from all over the world, there were some people who heard the sound and actually recognized their own native language being spoken. This is the one miracle that is completely without precedent in history. This particular miracle had never happened before. And it left people wondering, what can this mean? The band can start making their way back up here. Here's what it means. It means that in this day, this glorious day, God was beginning his great work of reversing the effects of the Tower of Babel when people were divided into different languages. It means that on this day, God was beginning his great project of forming one new holy nation unto God, made up not just of Jews, but of all manner of non-Jews, people from every tribe and nation and language. And that fact points to that this is the beginning of the renewal of all things. The promise we've been waiting for so long. The renewal of all things. Yes, it's good to pray in tongues if God gives you that gift, but every time you do, you're not only drawing closer to God, but you are exhibiting a sign that says it's a new day. It's a new day. And it says you're part of a new worldwide family of God made up of many people, not like you on the outside, but one in Christ. Every time you do it, it's a sign. It's that new day, the final steps in the renewal of all things, which eventually will renew creation itself. And this, folks, is all actually your inheritance if you're a follower of Jesus. It belongs to you. It was sent to you by Jesus. He said, wait for it. Like, don't even try to do this thing without it. Some of you know all about it. You've been there. You've seen it. You've experienced for yourself. But maybe it needs to get renewed. Some of you, you've been trying mostly to get by your own strength. But it doesn't have to be like that. The wind is coming. For both of you, whether it's like, you know, kind of gotten old and stale for you, or whether it's never happened, the wind is coming. So here's my challenge. Put up your sails and catch the wind. Let's stand and respond to the Lord.